Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
We honestly do not know what happened to Nami. I mean, there's, of course, an endless possibilities, I guess, but we have no clue where she is. Something happened, you know, between the time the family spoke to her and the next morning, and the time that we spoke to her, the time she went to sleep, her son went to sleep, and then in the morning she wasn't there. We don't know what happened in the middle of the night. Amazing people. They're in the same journey we are. And you say, how could it be that someone just disappears? And you think that, you know, that's not possible. But it happens so often. You don't realize how often it happens. And there has to be an explanation, as you said, there has to be an explanation. But what is it? It's getting those answers that we're not going to stop until we do that. Because when your loved one is missing, it's a feeling that it's a part of you that becomes lost. Too. And I said to people, too, we use the word missing, but we know that we're missing them, but they're somewhere. They're somewhere. The ground didn't just open up and swallow Nami. We need to find her.
On February 11th, 2014, 54-year-old Noemi Gonzalez spoke to some of her siblings on the phone. Nothing seemed amiss. At the time, her adult son was temporarily staying with Nomi, and he was the last known person to see her in her North Miami home around 2 a.m. on February 12th. He had woken up to use the restroom, and he saw Nomi was asleep. He went back to bed, and by the time her son woke up the next morning around 8 a.m., his mother was gone, and she had left behind all of her belongings, including important medication, her purse, and phone. Nomi has been missing for more than 6 years, and her family has not given up hope that one day they will find her. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 220 of The Vanished, Nomi Gonzalez's story. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be a challenge. I've always had problems whether it was with the fit or quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims. From cropped silhouettes to long-sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. You know that I've been wearing Skims for a long time, and recently tried one of their t-shirts. It's the best-fitting tee I've ever worn. Skims makes the best basics and foundations. I got the boyfriend t-shirt in Onyx, and it's so soft and comfortable. I want to wear it every day. It literally fits like a dream. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. For this story, we spoke to Naomi's sister-in-law, Liz. She has stepped up as the family spokesperson during their long search for Nomi. Liz told us more about her sister-in-law.
Very caring, very, very creative. She loves to do floral arrangements. She loves to do any kinds of arts and crafts stuff, which is what she used to do with the kids. She's a Christian woman, very, very faith and family, very important to her. You know, her faith and her family are the two most important things in her life. And just one of these people that, you know, she just puts a smile on your face. Honestly, you see her and she puts a smile on your face. She's always smiling. She's kind and gentle and very missed. She was active with her church and very involved in fundraising and, you know, gave her contributions to the church, you know, on a regular basis. And yeah, very much so. With the community events, planning events with the church, absolutely.
Nomi was born in Puerto Rico, but she moved with her family to New York when she was just a child. Liz told us more about that and how she ended up in Florida, where years later she would go missing.
She left Puerto Rico at the age of 9. She moved from Puerto Rico to New York City, down by Rivington Street. So then she basically grew up here and then moved to, she moved from Manhattan to New Jersey and spent many years in New Jersey. And then in 1985, moved to North Miami, Florida. Her mother, my mother-in-law was aging, and her oldest son, their oldest sibling, was living in the area in North Miami and had been encouraging her to come out there because she was getting older and just the aches and pains in the body. It was kind of one of those things where the oldest son just said, you know, I think this is a better move for you. As a lot of people do when they get older, they move to warmer climates. So they moved out to North Miami in 1985. It was her mother, herself, and her son.
Noemi had worked various jobs throughout the community over the years, from nursing homes to working for the police department. Liz told us that before she disappeared, Noemi had to stop working.
She was no longer working. She was on disability, on SSI, because she had had an injury, a workers' comp case, and was unable to continue to work. She had had a back injury and back and neck injuries that made her unable to continue to work. So she hadn't been working, but she was very involved in her church. So while she didn't work, she was constantly busy, whether it was planning events for the church, whether it was during the summer months and during school breaks, hosting Bible classes in her home for the local neighborhood kids. Once a week, she would go to the nursing homes and sit and have coffee, bring coffee to the residents. She was a former crossing guard in the community, and she worked in the police department in their record room and as a receptionist in the lobby of the North Miami Police Department. So the police department in the community is very aware of who she is and are just as invested in helping us find her. And during the months and the time before, there was nothing unusual going on in her life. Everything was the same. You know, she plans her trips to the church. She goes to church with her sister. She goes shopping. She spent a lot of time with her sister that lived in a neighboring town. She had a limited education. Career path was, in her lifetime, she spent a lot of time working in nursing homes. She started off in the cleaning staff and then went into as support staff and maintenance staff at nursing homes. And eventually working herself up to like a nurse's aide, just kind of assisting in the nursing home, which was perfect for her because she's the compassionate woman that she is. It just was a perfect setting for her, and people loved her at the nursing homes. So that's kind of where the direction that her life took when she moved to North Miami and then ended up with the police department when she started doing crossing guard with them and then ended up in their offices there, you know, as a receptionist and then in their record room, doing clerical work in their record room. She had an accident on the job, and she actually had two different workers' comp cases where she was hurt in the job. Her workers' comp case actually was she worked at a nursing home and was hit by a truck. And then she continued to work after that, but then it just became too debilitating throughout the years, and it just became, she had a lot of problems with her neck and her back. Absolutely enjoyed working with the North Miami Police Department. She did it as long as she could and then just stopped working with them because it was too much for her physically. But she formed a lot of really, really good relationships with the people in the police department and very open, opening her home to her coworkers and law enforcement. And so, but she had a very full life between her church and her family and her volunteer work. She really enjoyed her life. She really did.
Noemi never married, but she does have a son and grandchildren who she adored. In the months leading up to her disappearance, her adult son came to live with Noemi temporarily.
Her son had been living with his girlfriend and their child, and then about 2 to 3 months before she disappeared, he was staying with her temporarily because him and his girlfriend were having problems. So he was staying with her at that time. She had Pedrito at a very young age and never had, the father was never a presence in her life, you know, or in his life. She was never with his father And she was not in a relationship. She was never really in any kind of long-term relationships. She has the grandson that he's a young child. He was around her a lot when Pedrito was around. So of course, yes, she had a relationship with her grandson. She also has granddaughters. She has two granddaughters as well, but they lived far away from her in Florida. So she didn't have, she kept in contact with them, but she did have a relationship with them, kept in contact with them, but not on a day by day basis.
February 11th, 2014 seemed like any other ordinary day for Naomi. Her family is very close, and she had spoken to several of her siblings that day. They all reported that she was in good spirits. Everyone went to bed that night with no idea that by the next morning, their lives would be changed forever. Liz told us more about the day that Naomi disappeared.
She lives in North Miami, Florida, in a duplex home that she owns. And on February 12th of 2014, Naomi went missing from her home. She spoke to some of her siblings the evening before on February 11th, as she normally did. She always had communication. This is a very tight-knit family. Her son, who had been staying with her, was in the home, came home that evening, spoke to her. She went to bed. He went to bed. And the next morning, when he woke up, she wasn't in the house. Her personal belongings were all there, her cell phone, her pocketbook, her eyeglasses, her medication. Everything was still in the home. The door to the home was closed but unsecured. The house, there was nothing unusual in the home. Everything was the way it always is. So my nephew went next door to where her brother lives to see if she had stopped over to see her brother that morning, which she hadn't. Then he called her sister, who lives in the next town in Florida, to see if she was there with her, and she wasn't. Maybe she went to a doctor's appointment with her, or maybe they went shopping early or something. And she, when she got the call, instant panic, because she's like, what do you mean she's not there? No, she's not with me. And kind of we realized something's wrong here. And at that point, our lives changed forever. We contacted the police and reported Naomi missing. And we are still looking for Naomi. We are desperately trying to find her. We have done numerous things to try to put the information out there. We have continually ran campaigns, all type of media events, billboards, her poster, and bus shelters and benches in the area.
After Naomi was reported missing, the police came out and searched her home and surrounding areas.
By the next day, they had the dogs at the house doing the searches, and they searched in the neighborhood. They did aerial searches that same day. They came in and did full, what do they call it, crime scene investigation. They found nothing. The search and rescue dogs, they had those dogs coming in, tried to trace, no trace of anything, like where, I guess from the house out or anything, nothing. They couldn't find anything. There was nothing. There's no car. No, because she didn't have a car. Everything was intact, including her bed being unmade, because it was nighttime, as if she were in her bed and she just wasn't there anymore. Everything else was left the same. There was nothing unkept. We know that whatever happened must have happened very early in the morning hours or late at night, because of the fact that she usually gets up very early to make coffee, and the coffee was not made that morning.
One thing that Liz told us that seems important is that Naomi was known to make her bed in the morning after she woke up, and her son reported seeing her sleeping around 2 a.m., and by 8 a.m. when he realized that she was gone, her bed still appeared to have been slept in. She had not made the bed, which would have been her normal routine, along with making coffee. Was Naomi woken up in the middle of the night by something? While the police were searching for Naomi, her friends and family who lived in the area jumped into action, doing whatever they could think to do.
Well, they called the police, and then, the family, of course, started arriving at her home. Everyone who was in the area, who lives in the area, which isn't a lot of family, but obviously the family next door, a nephew, parishioners from the church, people started to come over. Maria Rosaura, her sister, her older sister, who's the one who, as I mentioned to you, is very close to her, she automatically went and took a photo and started to make a flyer and start literally, like, she hit the ground running. Like, she just started going out and passing out flyers to people, going to walk in the neighborhood. The police started walking the neighborhood, finding out, you know, what people knew.
Noemi's family was hopeful that surveillance videos from other homes and businesses in the area would turn up some clues. But they were surprised when they discovered that there weren't many cameras around.
There isn't much surveillance, unfortunately. It's extremely unfortunate because in this day and age where we think and we assume there's cameras everywhere, there isn't. And unfortunately, there's no CCTV or anything in the area, none of the neighboring homes or... She's in a residential area. None of the neighboring homes had surveillance cameras or anything, so we had nothing to go by in terms of any kind of video footage of what happened in the course of that night.
The lack of evidence as to what may have happened to Noemi has been a source of frustration for her family and police over the last 6 years. It's like she just vanished without a trace in the middle of the night. They can't even think of a single person who would have had a motive to harm Noemi.
We honestly do not know what happened to Noemi. I mean, there's, of course, an endless possibilities, I guess, but we have no clue where she is. Something happened, you know, between the time the family spoke to her and the next morning and the time that we spoke to her, the time she went to sleep, her son went to sleep, and then in the morning she wasn't there. We don't know what happened in the middle of the night. Something happened in the middle of the night. We don't know what happened. We have no reason to believe there's anyone that would want to cause any harm to her. She's not, like I said, she's not someone that has anyone who has no enemies. She has no, there's no one that dislikes Noemi. That's just who she is. She's just, she's extremely likable. There's no reason anyone would want to harm her. But something happened, and I don't know. You know, did someone come into her home? The crazy thing is the fact that there nothing was disturbed in her home. Nothing was disturbed in her home. So if someone lured her out of her home, which is the only thing that obviously as a possibility, that's the only thing I can think of. If someone lured her out of her home, it has to have been someone she knew, because she's not going to go with anyone that she doesn't know. She's not going to answer the door to a stranger. She's not gonna, so we don't know. We don't understand what happened. We know that there's a lot of questions and no answers is what we know at this point. When you ask me what scenarios do I think, that's the only scenario I can possibly think of, to be honest with you. But it makes no sense, because no one's going to come to her home in the middle of the night that she doesn't know. And if they come to her house and she doesn't know them, she's not going to be responding to them.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, and you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. Liz told us that one thing that Noemi enjoyed doing was going for walks. Is it possible that she went out for a walk that morning and something happened after she left her house?
I mean, she used to walk a lot, so I mean, she could probably walk pretty far if she were just taking a walk. I mean, she liked to walk. That was one thing that she did a lot of. But I don't know. I mean, I can't say how far. Well, she had back issues. She had back and neck issues, but because of that, she made sure she walked and stayed active. So I'm not sure how far she would have walked.
Noemi had some medical issues along with the injuries she had from work. Some think it's possible that these medical issues could have something to do with her disappearance.
She was diagnosed with epilepsy actually as a young child. And she had, thank God, had it very much under control through her medications. When she would have any epilepsy episodes, it would be more of her just kind of losing her ability to understand where she was. It was more of a disorientation she would get. She would click her mouth. She would sort of click her tongue with her mouth repeatedly, sort of fluttering in a fluttering way, and become very disoriented. But thank God that really didn't. Those episodes, she really had them very rare and far between. She also suffered from a condition called craniogenic syndrome, which she had a period of time where she literally had not enough salt in her body, and it was actually causing her to experience blackouts. She stopped driving a few years prior to her disappearance because she was having a couple of episodes where she would have this cardiogenic, she would have these blackouts driving, and actually had a couple of fender benders, so she stopped driving as a result of that.
Liz told us that because of some of these medical conditions, Noemi wasn't even known to go anywhere on her own. She doesn't think there's any chance that she would have just walked away from her life.
Noemi was so committed to her family and her faith, and there's no way that she would walk away. Noemi never went anywhere, just to give you an example. Noemi never went anywhere by herself because of her medical conditions and because of the fact that we knew at every moment where Noemi was. Her sister, who lived in the next town from her, was with her constantly. They went shopping together. They went to church together. They were in constant communication. So Noemi wouldn't go anywhere without someone knowing where she's going or with whom she is with.
Noemi wasn't known to go places on her own because of her medical conditions. But what if she had some kind of medical event and left in a state of confusion? Her family has considered this a possibility.
Well, obviously anything is a possibility. I mean, that's another possibility, obviously, that we think about. We do think about the possibility that she may have lost recognition of who she is or where she is. But then, if that were the case, and she leaves her home, where is she? And someone would have found her. She would be somewhere. And for months after Noemi disappeared, if I tell you that I repeatedly faxed and called hospitals, emergency rooms, medical examiner's offices, I've searched both scenarios, both possibilities for Noemi. We searched. And I still keep in contact with the medical examiner's office, because if I see things that are, sometimes I go on the internet and I look up stuff, and I actually have a log on to NAMIS, which is a National Missing and Unidentified Database, and I go on there if I see things in there that were found in the area that she lives in. I follow up on it with the medical examiner's office. If she walked out of her home that day not understanding who she was, she had to go somewhere. She went somewhere, and someone would have found her if she was walking aimlessly out of her home in the middle of the night.
With that small glimmer of hope that Naomi could be out there somewhere not knowing who she is, after suffering some kind of medical event, her family has continued to keep tabs on her accounts to see if anything ever pops up.
We notified Social Security, and her payments stopped. Through Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and through our own, you know, obviously saying our own due diligence, as I would say, we've tracked throughout the years, and there's no activity. There's no activity on anything. No activity in bank accounts, no activity on credit cards, Social Security. I contact Social Security every once in a while just to keep them up to date on it. They know that she's obviously missing. They have her file. They've stopped, like I said, her payments when she, as well as her workers' comp check. She was getting a small workers' compensation check. That stopped as well when we notified them.
Naomi's family has done everything they could think to do in order to keep her story out there, hoping that someone would come forward with information.
We've had media coverage repeatedly. Every time that we go down there and we do an event, we make sure the media is there. They cover it. It's on the local news channels. There's a $20,000 reward for any information that leads us to Naomi. Miami-Dade Crime Stoppers did a half-an-hour episode in their case files program on Naomi's disappearance. We've coordinated search and rescue teams to come out. We've worked with nonprofit organizations that assist families of missing persons. And I can't even tell you how many, I can't even imagine or give you a ballpark on how many flyers over the past we have distributed with Naomi's information. And unfortunately, we have no idea where Naomi is. We remain hopeful and pray, and we remain united in our efforts to find her. Her family is in Florida, her family is in New York and New Jersey area, and her family is in Puerto Rico. Members of each of those areas gather routinely to plan events and do whatever we can to try to get Naomi's information out there.
It's real important for us to go back to her community and keep reminding them that she's missing. Because at the end of the day, somebody saw something. Somebody must know what's happened to Naomi. Someone must have seen something. There were no cameras in her area, unfortunately. But we just feel like someone has to know something. She can't just have disappeared into thin air without anyone having seen something, know something. And we have no information. That's the information we want. So because of that, that's why we have the reward money available. That's why we attend these events. That's why we remind the community, because we feel someone in her area must know something. So we keep going back there.
For Liz and her family, the connections that they've made with other families and organizations in the missing persons community have helped to keep them strong throughout all the ups and downs of having a missing loved one.
This is one of those things. This new community, that you become a part of this community of missing persons families. And it's, first of all, a terrible club, or whatever you want to call it, to be in, obviously, because of the fact that you have a loved one that's been absolutely terrible. But the people that we have met, it's just been amazing. I have never met such amazing people. I've said to people, I live my life, and I have amazing people surrounding me, and I feel a lot of love and appreciation for all of these people. But these people in this community of missing persons, there is an unconditional selflessness that's just amazing. People who will do things for you and come out for you and support you and conduct these searches and do things for you, that, who do not know you from a hole in the wall and will do the most amazing things for you. It's a side of humanity I've never experienced. I have to be very honest with you. It's just, it's amazing. I've seen and experienced things that I've never in my life as a result of Naomi's disappearance, and met amazing people along the way. And it's very difficult, because when your loved one goes missing, there's no handbook. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. You don't know what steps are supposed to be taken. And, you know, we just kind of ran with whatever we thought we can do. And the database with NamUs, I'll tell you what, happened very early on, and it created an amazing bond and relationship with Brittany McLaurin in the medical examiner's office in Miami-Dade. Shortly after Nami disappeared, there were human remains of a woman found under a bridge in Miami. And it was a Saturday morning. I went on the computer and literally would just type in woman found Miami, woman found Florida, just to see what would come up. And here comes the story saying that this woman was found not too far from where Nami lives, in the Miami area. And I contacted the medical examiner's office immediately and was connected with Brittany. I spent the entire weekend, my husband and I spent on the phone with Brittany, who is amazing, walking through what Nami's database, what her record and name has had at that point, pointing her, confirming the dental records, mentioning to her about where Nami's birthmarks were, and sending her photos of the birthmarks. The entire weekend we spent, and she couldn't quite confirm that it was or was not Nami, and she needed to get the confirmation from the dental forensic specialist, whatever the terminology is for the gentleman. But so it wasn't until Monday morning that we received the phone call confirming that it wasn't Nami. But all of these things, you just somehow you start taking the steps you need to do, or you feel you need to do, to find your loved one, and somehow the path just kind of leads you, and you kind of work your way through things. My family, we're very curious people. We're very, we want to be proactive. I've said to the police, they do their investigation, and we count on them to doing whatever they need to do to try to find Nami, and we will do what we need to do to find Nami. And as far as we're concerned, what we need to do to find Nami is just to keep her face, her name, and her information out there in the public. And at some point, we're going to find Nami. The not knowing is what really, it gnaws at you. It wants to, and if you let it, it will tear you apart. But you find the strength in each other and this community, because I have to say, these organizations are just amazing. We've gone out, we've coordinated search and rescues where we've had search dogs come out numerous times to the area around Nami's home and the area of the community. And people who drive 3-4 hours to come out for you, they don't even know you. They're family now.
Nomi's family has relied on their faith and strong family bonds to help them get through this and to continue to fight for answers for Nomi.
I have faith in that. We will find Nomi at some point. But someone must know something. And so what we do as a family is every and anything we can to remind the community that Nami is still missing and that we are still searching. And that if anyone knows or of anything that happened to her or anyone knows of her whereabouts, to come forward. And we have $20,000 reward for any information that leads to us finding Nami. But it is very difficult. It's been a very difficult journey. It continues to be a very difficult journey and a path that I don't wish on anyone. But as a family, this family, which is an amazing family, I'm extremely blessed to be a part of Nami's family. And they're very, very, very united in their faith and their love for their family, and have remained that way throughout this. Because a lot of the people I meet from this community will talk about how this kind of a situation tears families apart sometimes, because it's very devastating. But it has really united us even more, if that were even possible. And we have key people in Florida, my husband and I in New Jersey, and key people in Puerto Rico that constantly collaborate with, okay, what are we doing next? And what's our next step? And where do we go from here? And because we need to keep searching for Nami, because we need to find Nami. You don't lose hope and you don't give up on your loved one. So you continue to do that because you don't know what else to do. And it's all you can do. The search for her, I think, at this point, is more about waiting for the right time to get the information. I think at this point, we do everything we can to keep the information out there about Nami's disappearance, to keep her image out there, to keep the information out there. And at the end of the day, unfortunately, it's a waiting game. It's waiting for that that information to come. The one thing that this has taught us is that time is just, and we realize that God's time and our time is very different. And while we want things, you know, now and right now, it's not on our time, it's on the Lord's time. So we wait, and we wait on Him, and we wait on finding the answers or getting the answers that will lead us to Naomi. So an investigation at this point, I think, is just a matter of time, to be very honest with you. And it's what happens, unfortunately, with missing person cases. I've spoken to people. I met a gentleman I went to a conference. Q, Center for the Missing, had a conference, an amazing conference in Wilmington, North Carolina. And we met a gentleman whose son has been missing for 22 years, and he's still waiting.
So what happened to Naomi Gonzalez in the early morning hours of February 12, 2014? There really isn't much to go on in this case. We know she spoke to several of her siblings on the evening of the 11th, and everything seemed normal. Naomi went to bed that night, and her son says that he saw her sleeping around 2 a.m. when he got up to use the restroom. By 8 a.m. when her son got up again, Naomi was gone. She left all of her belongings behind, including her purse, phone, glasses, and very important medications. The door to her home was closed but unlocked, and there was no signs of a struggle. Searches of the area around her home didn't provide any further clues. We did contact the North Miami Police Department for an interview, but they declined. We requested records but only received her initial missing persons report that had very little information. They did comment on the 6-year anniversary back in February of this year. While speaking with a local CBS affiliate, the former lead detective said that there are no suspects and that this is the most baffling case they've ever worked on. Over the past 6 years, Naomi's family and detectives haven't uncovered anything that points to any one outcome. They've considered that Naomi may have had a medical event and left her home, leaving her belongings behind, not knowing who she was. Is it possible that she's out there somewhere amongst the homeless population? Could she have gone for a walk and something happened to her? Liz told us that Naomi wouldn't open her door for a stranger. Is it possible that someone that she knew showed up at her door and harmed her? Her family doesn't know of anyone who would have had a motive to hurt her. Naomi's family has done everything they can possibly think over the past 6 years, and it hasn't led to answers. They have immersed themselves in the missing persons community, which has offered them so much support. They continue to lean on each other and have faith that one day they will find answers. If you have any information about the disappearance of Naomi Gonzalez, please call the North Miami Police Department at 305-891-0294. You can also submit a tip anonymously through Miami-Dade Crime Stoppers at 1-800-346-8477. You can follow Naomi's case on Facebook at Naomi Gonzalez Missing Person.
Just all of these amazing organizations and amazing people that help you. We've gone to events, my husband and I and our family, we've gone to missing person events in Florida, in New York, in New Jersey, and you meet amazing people. And I always go to these things because, you know what, if there's one little thing that I can pick up, any little idea to do something different, any little suggestion, anything, we run with it. We run with it. We do it. And because we need to continue in our journey to find Naomi.
That brings us to the end of episode 220. I would like to thank Liz for speaking with us for this story. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to join in on the discussion, there's a page and discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There are a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by contributing on Patreon, where you can get early and ad-free episodes. Join me next week. I'll be covering a case from Wisconsin. Thanks for listening.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I understand that anybody who's paid attention to the media would have to come to the conclusion that I killed my wife.
Hi, my name is Zach Stewart Pontier. I'm one of the filmmakers behind The Jinx, and I'm excited to bring you the official Jinx podcast. We'll be revisiting all 6 episodes of Part 1 and watching along with Part 2 as it airs on Max, starting April 21st.
Bye-bye.
The official Jinx podcast. Listen on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.